You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
I love being at my favorite C3 campus, is this campus right here. And at the men's conference, we are going to take, come on, that trophy, whatever you win. I don't know what you win. Can I have all the men raise your hand? All the men. If you don't know you're a man yet, we're going to pray for revelation. You're a man. All the men that are now, I'm not a captain, but if I was, I would have 50 people. In fact, I'm a centurion. I would get 100 people. In fact, I think I want to bring some men from Vegas. I may bring 50 men from Vegas and take over that thing. Oh, yeah, it's on, baby. Don't let these 8-inch guns fool you. I could do some damage. Anyway, listen, I want to give honor to the lead pastors of this great movement. I know they're not here, but real honor isn't how you talk about somebody where they're in front of you. Real honor is how you talk about someone when they're not around you. Right? So I want to give honor, come on, to Pastor Jurgen and Pastor Leanne. We love them. Awesome. And the pastors here, come on, doctor. Come on, his wife. Come on, just. Sorry, I just did this thing because I watched The Great Wall with Matt Damon yesterday. And I have my 9-year-old son, and my 12-year-old daughter went with us. And then I have a 16-year-old son. And every time, you know, they want honors, they like that. So, sorry, it's not in the Bible. It's just for Matt Damon. So, Father, thank you for a great morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. We love you. Thank you. So great. So honored to be back at my second favorite church. I got to be honest. I mean, listen, if I don't think my church isn't my favorite, then I should resign there and just come and be a janitor here. This church is amazing. If you're a guest, honestly, welcome to, I think, one of America's, if not the world's greatest churches. And do not judge this church based upon my speaking. Please come back next week, okay? I'm just telling you right now. It's like, some of you are like, why did he have to speak? Why can't we have Dr. Matt speaking? Why do we have to have that guy? Why is he wearing those skinny jeans? Because you can't. Do not hate. Listen. I know every woman is like envying these legs. I know. I swear we're skinny jeans. Listen, you got to show off what you got. When I go to the beach, I keep my shirt on. I layer myself, but I have shorts to show off these legs, man. Just going like that. So anyway, I want to see how honest you all are. How many of you rather be at church this morning than the nicest hospital in the San Diego area? Can I see your hand? See your hand. Some guys didn't raise their hands. Must have been really hot nurses, but they were, you know, helping them. I don't know. How many of you rather be right now in this church service right now than the nicest jail or prison in San Diego County? Some hands still didn't go up. I know, I get it. You know, you have to, no utilities you have to pay, and no mortgage, and you get food 3 times. I get it, man. It's all good. You know, some of my family members, but not me, have been there. Okay, so, let's see how honest you really are. How many would rather be at church right now, sitting here right now, than the nicest beaches of Hawaii? Yeah. You're lying. You're lying. Liar, liar. You know where liars go? To heaven after you repent. That's right. Because I'm telling you right now, well, would you rather be here preaching than Hawaii? Shut up. I'm in Hawaii, man. Show a video of me from the power conference or whatever. I don't love it. So good. Rule number one at C3, not 12 or number 10, is rule number one, have fun. Amen. If you're a guest, welcome to church that actually believes that God wants to give us abundant life. Not a life free from challenges, because you wouldn't need faith if you didn't have challenges. But a life is that God says, come on, I'm with you. Amen. So I'm, oh, right. I heard an amen from a kid. Isn't that awesome? You raise them up, get even the 3-year-old, amen, you know. So good. Well, I want to get into a message because they have me timed out here. I just want to encourage you that I'm only here today, and if I have to be here tonight, so do you. If you don't come back tonight, I'm going to find out where you live. Your tires will be flat tomorrow. Hubcaps will be gone, and it'll be good. I'm Benny Perez. I pastor Church LV in Las Vegas, and married to a beautiful wife named Wendy. I have three kids. Again, BJ, 16, Bella, 12, and Benaya, 9, and he's a baller, basketballer, and he won his game yesterday. Finally scored a basket in the right basket, because two weeks ago he scored a basket, but it was in the wrong basket. I'll tell you, it's going to be in my message. So I tend to yell a lot. It's my Hispanic background. I'm passionate. I know some of you thought I was Middle Eastern. Nothing wrong with that. I'm all good. Some of my best friends are Middle Eastern. Okay, and I understand that. So I understand that I have to stay away from politics. Okay, so I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna go there. But if I say Trump, everybody shouts and whatever. Yeah, whatever. Let me just say it to you this way, and I know there's people that wave the donkey and some people that wave the elephant, but I want to wave the lamb. I want to wave the lamb. Come on, represents Jesus. Can I hear an amen? All right, let's get into the Word of God because my time is eluding me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, and we're going to have a scripture up, and is it going to be up? There it is. These guys are awesome, right? For the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by what? Faith. Come on, we walk by what? Faith. And not by, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor. Walk by faith. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor. Neighbor, it looks like you're walking by sight. No, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We're going to throw up one more scripture for you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, and without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him or please God. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he what? That he exists and that he what? Rewards those who what? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that rewards us? We serve a good God. Father, thank you for this time that we have. And God, I really, Lord God, feel like this is my second home. God, I thank you, Lord God, that Pastor Jurgen and Leanne, they're some of our best friends, and God, what they're doing is amazing. God, I get encouraged and inspired every time I come here. Thank you for all the campuses, all the campus pastors. Now, Lord, speak to all of us, I pray, and help me not to be so funny in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. My wife says, why are you so funny? You know, you're so funny. And if you know me off the platform, if you know me just normally, I'm actually an introvert. The crazy thing about God is God picked me and he pulled me out of business school, and I just wanted to be an accountant. That was my dream. I wanted to be an accountant, and because I figured I have to deal with people, I could deal with numbers, and there's profit, loss, balance sheet, appreciation, depreciation, asset amortization, all this kind of stuff, and I'm all cool with that because I was always that wallflower kid, and then all of a sudden God says, I'm going to pick you. And so I want you to know something, that there are gifts and talents inside of you. You don't even know that's there. What happens when you get involved in a community of faith, the community of faith called C3 Church will pull out, come on, the leadership that's inside of you. So I want to encourage you that I'm not that gifted. I'm not that talented. I am that good looking, but everything else, that was not a joke. I don't know why people always laugh at that one. I don't know that one. If my wife was on the front, she'd be saying, amen, amen. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you like sightseeing? Anybody like sightseeing? Anybody like sightseeing? You like any sightseers out there? Well, I took my family. We went sightseeing this past summer, and actually this year, last year was a big year. And so I like sightseeing. When I go to London, London is my favorite city. I could love in London. I could live in London. I mean, it's so cool. We were just there. I just got back from South Africa. We stopped in London, and I purposely had a layover for 9 hours just so me and my wife could leave the airport, go and just hang on Oxford Street, do some shopping, and just be a Londoner, come on, for 8 hours. It was so much fun. So when you go someplace, it's good to see the sights, right? You want to go to Buckingham Palace, and you want to go to those big cathedrals, and you want to go and see the Tower of London, and then you want to ditch and go over to Paris and see all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with sightseeing. Life is fun because it's good to see some sights. But unfortunately, sometimes now we take that to our spiritual lives. That too many of us begin now to walk our lives based upon what we just see with our own natural eye. That's why Thomas Jefferson, he began to cut things out. What did he cut out? He cut out the supernatural. Why did he cut out the supernatural? Because you cannot see, come on, with your natural eye, the supernatural. And we live in a culture that we want to embrace, come on, just rational stuff. We want to embrace what we can understand and what we can feel, touch, and see. But we live in a realm, come on, that you cannot touch and feel and see all the time. That we live in a supernatural realm, that we're connected to something greater than what is just in the natural. That's why I want to talk to you very quickly on the topic, trusting in what you don't see. Trusting in what you don't see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, C3 Church, we are people who walk by faith, putting our trust in God, who we cannot see, over things that we can see. Let me define faith for you in the most simplistic form, because faith, watch me, simply as this, is trusting God. If you're taking notes, you can just write that down. Faith equals trusting God. So now that we walk by faith, we understand that our everyday actions are tied to God, who we believe is directing our steps. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in happenstance. I believe the steps of a good man, a good woman are ordered by the Lord. I don't even believe guests or visitor that you're here by accident. I don't even believe that I happen to be the person that you are hearing for the first time at C3 Church. I don't even believe that I'm here on this weekend by accident because it's the only weekend I could fit in to my schedule. I believe that God, come on, is directing our steps. I love what the Bible says, that we don't believe by faith, but we walk by faith. In other words, we have gone beyond just believing, and we begin to move in action. It's not enough just to believe. You know, the Bible says this, even the devils believe yet tremble. I'm not talking about just believing, but I'm talking about now moving in action. Walking is forward motion towards a specific destination. Sometimes you have to leave where you are before you know where you're going. This is the conundrum. This is the complexity of life. Because many of us, whether it's stepping out in business or stepping out maybe in doing something we've never done before, we always want to see where we're going. And many times God says, will you trust me enough? Will you have faith enough? Watch me now to leave where you are, and then I will show you where I'm going to take you. The book of Genesis chapter 12, great example of a guy named Abram. He's this Old Testament character, and God shows up to him and he says, hey, Abram, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave everything that you know, and I want you now to go to the place that I will show you. It's interesting to know that this guy named Abram now has never really had an interaction with God. God shows up to him because Abram comes from a pagan family. He comes from a family that does not know God. And yet God shows up to him and begins to speak to him. And all of a sudden God says, I want you to leave, watch me, where you are, and I want you to begin to go where I'm going to show you. Now, the greatest person of faith, because he's called, Abraham is called the father of our faith, but really I don't think he's the greatest person of faith. The greatest person of faith was not Abram. It had to be his wife Sarai. Because God, watch me, God spoke to Abram with his own voice, and now Sarah had to believe that her husband heard from God. Listen, I wish I would have got a bigger amen from all the women here right now. Because can you imagine your husband comes back and says, we're leaving San Diego. Pack up, baby, we're leaving this place. And she's like, why? Because God spoke. Where are we going? Don't know. All I know is we're supposed to go. All you ladies, come on, you look at me because you're in church feeling the vibe. You're like, amen, we're good. No, you wouldn't. Come on, ladies, work with me now. You know, women, you are territorial. You put down roots. We got relationships. Got my girlfriends. I got family. I got this. I mean, listen, I love my family, but I'm not that tied to my family. But you try and grab a woman, come on, from her mom or dad or friends and everything. Come on now. I mean, can you imagine? Abram goes, let's go. We're leaving. Where? Just follow me. Do we have a GPS? Nope. Well, sort of God's positioning system. Yeah, we're going to end up somewhere. Here's the crazy thing about God. God is God because he's God. Ooh, that was so deep. You missed it. I'll say that again. God is God because, what does that mean? That means God doesn't have to explain himself. God is looking for men and women that would trust in things they don't see. God is looking for people that would begin to say, you know what, God, all I need to hear, come on, is your voice. All I need to know is your word. Watch me. Sight is not ignoring reality, but recognizing a greater one. Ooh, I feel something. So all of a sudden I get it. I understand that by my sight and by everything about me, I've been diagnosed with something. I'm facing a challenge. I'm facing a reality. Sight is not ignoring something, but watch me. If I don't walk by sight, but I walk by faith, it means there's a greater reality. Life is really about perception. How do you perceive things? How do you perceive your life? How do you perceive things that are happening in your life? See, I didn't grow up, right, in what you would call a privileged family. I grew up in a great loving family in Pico Rivera, California. I grew up with some of my family members making bad choices and being in gangs and committing acts of crime and being in prison even to this day. And I didn't grow up knowing much about how to handle money and resources and finances. I grew up knowing how to work hard. And I think there's a good work ethic that we all need. Amen. The Bible says, if you don't work, come on, you don't eat. Amen. There's something about that. But listen to me, I started going into territory I did not know about. And then I began to get mentors in my life. And thank God, watch me, when God called me out of business school, he didn't say, I want you to leave business school because look what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that one day you're going to travel the world. I'm going to show you that you're going to be Australia 48 times. I'm going to show you you're going to be in New Zealand like 20 times. I'm going to show you, look, I'm going to take you to all over the world. I'm going to let you preach at some of the largest churches and greatest movements on the planet. He didn't show me any of that. If he would have shown me that, it wouldn't have taken faith. Here's the issue, is that the natural is real, but it's limited. There is another realm that is greater. Come on, C3 Church. So faith, some people say, well, faith is kind of unreasonable. It's, you know, I like the Thomas Jefferson thing, but faith is unreasonable only within a restricted worldview that denies God the right to intervene. His intervention is highly rational from a biblical perspective. I'm going to read that again because it makes me sound smart. Faith is unreasonable only within a restricted worldview that denies God the right to intervene. His intervention is highly rational, come on, from a biblical point of view. So when I have a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective, now tithing isn't God taking money from me. Tithing is, watch. Now let me just go there for a second, because I talk about this in my church also, right? Do I have to tithe to go to heaven? No. Do I have to serve to go to heaven? No. You don't have to do anything to go to heaven. You just have to put your trust in Jesus, right? And so why this tithe thing? Why this giving thing? Why this serve thing? Why this? Because watch me, the number 10 is the number of testing. The number 10 is the number of testing, right? So instance, you know that when Moses came and Moses came to Pharaoh, this guy in the Bible, if you don't really know, you know, the Bible too well, just go get, come on, the old video cassette, come on, of Moses, right? You know, they just redid one, right? I mean, Exodus and all that kind of stuff, so unbiblical, but you get the point about the movie. And so what happens is God tests Pharaoh with 10 plagues. There's a guy named Daniel. Daniel was a vegan. Come on. Think vegan is like San Diego? No, it's in the Bible. Daniel's a vegan, right? And he goes, hey, just give me vegetables and water, bro. Let all these guys keep eating filet mignon, T-bone, and all that kind of stuff. And test me after 10 days, and we're going to be healthier and stronger. Come on, vegans. Any vegans out there? I know you're quiet. You don't have much energy. Watch this now. Sorry. Sorry, I didn't. Did I just really say that? Sorry! Sorry, we'll eat meat later. Praise the Lord. But you know the story, right? With Daniel. Daniel, what Daniel says? Daniel says this. Daniel says, watch. Give me 10 days and test me after 10 days. How about Jesus telling a parable? Five foolish and five wise virgins, right? 10 virgins. It's a test. Boo! This is the test of emergency broadcasting system, right? It's a test. It's a test. And the test with the tithe, listen to me. The test is who do you trust with your money? I've been an entrepreneur ever since I was a little kid. Seriously, since I was a kid. When I was about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, maybe told this story, but I had the largest avocado distribution company on my block. Yeah. You just thought I was a funny communicator. I had the largest avocado distribution company on my block. 6631 Lindsay Avenue, Pico Rivera, California. You know you're a good speaker when you see a little kid with a hat over there smiling. So I still got his attention. Come on. I don't care about you adults. That's who I care about right there. That world changer, history maker, world shaker, that guy right there. Some of you adults are like, this is boring. You're boring. I want to just talk to this guy right here. This is a champion right there. Champion right there. Right? So here I am, Benny Perez, right, the age of 8. I have the largest avocado distribution company on my stinking block. Come on now. It's a monopoly. I'm the mastermind leader in that group. Yeah. Ain't flying anywhere. I am the man. So let me help you out. We had two avocado trees. My parents still live in the same house. Two avocado trees in the backyard. So I would climb the avocado trees, and I had an employee, my little brother. Hey, man, he was $10.99. Come on, I don't want to pay all that other stuff. I mean, mama didn't raise no fool. I ain't paying your payroll taxes. You're $10.99. Come on, Uber. Watch. You should laugh. That's actually funny. Climb the tree, throw it down. And my brother was kind of slow sometimes. I throw and hit him on the head, you know. And so then we would take these avocados and we would go with the little wagon around the house, around the block. And I'd sell them like 8 for a dollar, man. I was rolling, man. 8 for a dollar. I mean, I had so many avocados, so I would make like 10 bucks on a weekend. It was kind of cool. It was awesome. And I'd come home. My dad would say, hey, how'd you do? So I said, Dad, man, $10. $10 is a lot of money. It's like, wow. And usually a $1 bill, pop, 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 pop. And my dad would have me put out all the $10 bills, and he would say, put all those $10 bills out. That first one belongs to God. Now watch this out. I'm just a 10-year-old. It's like, are you kidding me? I get to keep 9? Wow. That's a great deal. Because who produced the avocados? I didn't. See, the Bible said this way. God gives you the ability to get wealth. But he gave you the ability to do it. You see, when we walk by faith and not by sight, now we'll begin to understand something, that now the Bible really makes sense when it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The greatest war in the era which we're living in is the war between revelation and reason. It's happening all around us. Are we going to walk by the revelation of God's word? We walk by faith and not by sight. Or are we going to walk by our reasoning? It doesn't make sense, Pastor. Why are we doing this, Pastor? Why do I serve? Why do I do this? It doesn't make sense why you give things away and they come back pressed down, shaken together, running over. It doesn't make sense to my reasonable mind to forgive people that hurt me. It doesn't make sense for me to love my enemies. It It doesn't make sense to pray for those in authority. It doesn't make sense. But last time I realized, if I begin to walk by what I think, my life doesn't go really that well. I found out that God's smarter than me. It just happened last week, and I finally got a revelation. But see, if we recognize that if we walk by faith and not by sight, then really those two, that premise of walking by faith, not by sight, rests on two pillars. Write this down. Number one, it must rest on that you must believe that God is with you. And number two, that God is for you. These two pillars I'm going to stick deep into the ground, and I'm going to continue tonight, because tonight's going to be a totally different message, but it's going to tie in. And so we have to understand that literally I must believe in my heart, come on, C3, that God is with me, right? And God is what? God is for me. Now I want you to call your attention to a guy named Joshua. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, there's a story about this guy named Joshua, and the Bible says that Moses, you all know Moses, right? Moses is now dead, and now Joshua is responsible for taking the children of Israel, watch, into the promised land. Joshua has been the right-hand man to this guy named Mo. You know him as Moses, I'll call him Mo. And so Joshua has seen all the miracles. Joshua has seen the Red Sea split. Joshua has seen water come out of the rock. Everything that Mo did with his staff was amazing. He holds a staff up. Come on now. The Pacific Ocean splits. He now taps water. He calls down manna from heaven. I mean, all this stuff. And now Mo is dead. Now, if I was Joshua, I'd be crying because Mo is dead. But I'd be saying, where's the staff? Give me the staff, baby, right? I mean, there's something about that staff. There's something around that staff. See, because we think, watch me, the power is in an object. The power is not in an object. The power is in a relationship, right? So what does God do? I don't know if you have the scripture. I'm mixing it all up. But in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 9, and if you're there, great. There it is. I can't read. It's too small. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as with Mo, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Right? Next verse, if we have it on there. I think about verse 9, I believe. I probably messed you guys up. There it is. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you, what? Wherever you what? Wherever you go, God was giving Joshua the assurance of his presence. His presence was going to bring comfort to Joshua, who was now facing, watch, the unknown. When you face the unknown, you need to know one thing. Come on, that God is with me. Listen, no matter what you're facing, I say this to myself, okay, God, I'm going into uncharted territory, but I know this, that God, you are with me. Here's what the devil does. The devil lies to you, and he says, God isn't with you. If God was with you, why did this tragedy happen? If God was with you, why is this challenge arising? Because the devil is a liar. Because the devil knows, watch me now, the power doesn't come from the absence of problems. It comes from realization that you have the presence of his. You have the presence of God in your life. Do not judge your life based on the absence of problems, but base your life on, watch me, no, God is with me. No matter what I'm facing, come on, God is with me. Your faith increases when you believe, come on, God is with me. No matter what happens, come on, my God is with me. No matter what happens in my family or my marriage or my health, come on, God is with me. That's why we have the book of miracles that we're praying and saying, no, God is with you. No, we're praying for you. God is with you. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God is with you. You, clap your hands, C3. Come on, everybody. God is with me. I have a 9-year-old son. He's amazing, my 9-year-old son, but he has a problem like some of us still have. My 9-year-old son is still afraid of the dark. Before you laugh, I know some of you men still have your nightlight on. I know you. It's like, I'm not afraid of the dark. I just need to... You don't know where I'm going when I have to go to the bathroom. No! You're afraid of the dark. Own it! That's why you need to come to Emerge. We're going to put you in a dark room. Get over it. You'll be like Batman. You got to face your fear. So my son, he's been sleeping with in my daughter's room. Bella's 12, right? And my other son's room, who's 16, they're just getting tired of it because, you know, they're kind of getting, you know, one's a teenager and one's like getting ready to teenager. And here's Benaiah coming down with his blanket. And all he wears is he wears his underwear. That's it. It's like 40 degrees and he just takes off his shirt. The guy's ripped at 9. I don't know where he got it from. It's like, I want your body when I grow up. That's what I tell him. So finally, I did what every good parent did. Not really. I looked at him. I said, Benaiah, a little upset. I'm just bearing my soul to you. I'm not the perfect dad, right? You know, and by the way, it's so funny. When I still do youth conferences. I love youth conferences. I did one with 3,500 young people, right? I mean, it's awesome. I still do. And I don't know why they're inviting this old guy, but they're still inviting me, right? And they come up, they're like, oh, man, life's so bad. I go, why is it so bad? Well, my parents gave me a timeout and took away my PS4, took away my iPhone. Listen, I tell them, shut up. Be quiet. Timeout, in my day, it was a knockout. All right, you'll get it later, right? So I said, Benaiah, go to your room. You're going to go to bed in your room. Dad, I'm scared of the dark. Go to your room now. He's going, and he has bunk beds, and he's laying in his bunk bed, and he's got every light on. Every light, like the bathroom light, the closet light, the light. I mean, even in the night light, everything. I mean, it's like light up. It's like you could tan in his room. Is that bright? I go in there. I'm turning off all the lights. Turn off the lights. Dad, no. Scared. Then all of a sudden he saw that I had a pillow. And I had a blanket. He goes, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to sleep in your room tonight. He goes, what? I'm going to sleep in your room. I'm turning off all the lights, but I'm sleeping in your room. I climbed up in the top bunk. He goes, Dad, you're there. I'm here. See, what changed? Did the circumstances change? Did the room change? The only thing that changed in his mind was my dad is with me. My dad, come on somebody, is with me. Let the room be dark. My dad is with me. Let me get a bad report. My dad is with me. I may be afraid, but my dad, come on somebody, is with me. He tells this to me. He says to me, he goes, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. I'm laying on that bed after about 20 minutes. It was the most uncomfortable twin mattress I've ever been on in my life. It's like, man, my wife told me about buying those cheap $75 mattresses from IKEA. I should have bought the good one, but I didn't think I'd ever be sleeping on that bad boy. Life changes, and you can walk by faith when you know God is with you. See, I don't care what I face now. I know, come on, number one, God is with me. But it's not enough. It's not enough to understand, right? Because if you're going to trust in things you cannot see, if you're going to walk by faith and not by sight, understand now that it is impossible to please God without faith. Because you must believe that he is, and he is reward of those that seek him. But you got to have that pillar of God is with me. But that is not enough. You have to have the second pillar, which is God is for me. It's not enough to know that God is just watch me now with me, but I got to have an unwavering conviction that God isn't just with me. Come on, he is for me, not against me. Come on, help me preach because I'm almost out of time. Right? Oh, some of you need to grab a coffee and stay and come to the second one this morning. Why? Because faith comes by hearing by more about the word of God. It's just so funny when people are like, I went to church one time on the weekend. Yeah, but when you used to party in club, you didn't just, well, I went to the club on Friday. Come on, you found a club on Saturday. Come on, you clubbers. Some of you are still clubbing. It's okay. Raise your hand. It's all good. Then we get saved like, I came to church once. When I was partying, dude, I was crossing into Tijuana on Revolution Boulevard and partying. The roof is on fire. Don't do the song. It'll mess you up. Come on, Hungry Like the Wolf. Come on, Duran Duran. Come on, anybody from the 80s and 90s, huh? Then you all get saved. And it's like, I did my church thing. Somebody come to the keyboards before you can get carried away in this church because it's saying 0-0-0. How many give me at least 2 more minutes and then I'm done? Clapping doesn't know. I need proof. Raise your hand if you just give me 2 more minutes. Just 2 more minutes. Keep your hand up, please. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I just got another 30 minutes. It's amazing. Somebody say this, God is with me. Hey, thanks, Dad. Yeah, yeah. What changed? I was just in the room with him. Joshua, God tells him, what are you going to tell Joshua when he's got to take the promised land? He has no weapons. He doesn't have an army. He's coming out of captivity. And God, first thing God tells him is, let me just give you a reality check. Mo is dead. Because you think Mo is the man. But I'm with you. Second thing is, and you don't have to put up scripture, all of a sudden now in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua is now by Jericho and he's looking at Jericho. And the Bible says that all of a sudden now this angel shows up with his sword drawn. And it's crazy because Joshua goes, wait a second, are you for me or are you against me? And the angel of the Lord says, neither. I'm the commander of the armies of the Lord of God. And at that moment, Joshua bowed down and worshiped him. Why? Because this is Jesus showing up. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, you got it all wrong. It's not for and against. I'm here to take over. I'm here to take over your worries. I'm here to take over your cares. I'm here to take over every area of your life. You must understand who you're dealing with. Second thing Joshua needs to know is that, watch me, God is with him. Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 5, he finds out that God is for him. I'm giving you the city. I'm for you. If you could get these two revelations, that God is with me, come on somebody, and God is for me, what? Now I can actually trust in what I don't see, because it's not based on what I see, it's based on what I know. Let me end with this story. And we'll continue it second. I'll just continue the message a second, and we'll work it at 12. And then tonight's different message. Just Start Walking is a message. The message tonight, I preached it at a couple places. And my wife would say it's probably one of my best messages ever to help people, like, shift into another dimension. God comes and says to Joshua, watch me. I'm for you. Let me end with my story with Benaiah. Benaiah is also not just afraid of the dark, but he's actually a basketball player who's not very good. He doesn't know it, but he's not good. So I put him on a team who's being coached by an NBA great. Okay, the guy's retired. It's a true story. Goes to my church. Okay, first round draft pick. You know when those guys start dropping? I hate name droppers. Like, you know, I preached for Joel Osteen, which I did. I just hate name droppers. Just you know, how they do that? They're so good at it too, aren't they? They're like, hey, Bishop Jakes. I was just with them, which I was. And so, just kidding. Yeah. So, you know, they start talking about celebrities, you know, me and, you know, and I won't tell you that purpose story. So anyway, my son's playing basketball. Pastor, I'm ending. I know you gave me that look like end. I'm landing the planet. I'm landing on the planet. I am. Okay. Watch. My son's playing basketball. He's not that good. And so when a person's not that good, you say, defense wins championships, because my friend can't score. So my son is the defensive specialist. Come on, get that butt down. Move. 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 So watch this. The game's ending. My son touches the ball for the first time. He grabs a rebound. Grabs it. And then everything goes in slow motion as he throws the ball back up. And it's a perfect shot. And it's going to the basket, but it's the wrong basket. Here's what's even worse is that everybody starts laughing. The other coaches on the team start laughing. All parents, everybody starts laughing. And I start getting mad because it's my boy. I restrain myself simply because my wife put her hand on my leg. You know married couples, that's the thing, like, that's wife to husband. Restrain yourself. When it's husband to wife, it means something totally different. You learn that at a merge conference. Woo. You got to bring me to preach at that conference. I will tear that place up. You don't even know. They have to high five each other and all that kind of stuff. I'm on the bench. And I'm just waiting. And I just, in my mind, if I wasn't a Christian, I am boom, 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 boom. Sorry. I didn't grow up in the country club. I just say. Now I have access. But back then, crack the window. Boom, 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 boom. Just saying. If you're a guest, come back next week. It's a lot better. Trust me, it's a lot better. I'm still dysfunctional. So I got in. Oh, man, it's such a good ending story. I can't end. Okay, all right, I'll just end it. My son's crying. I'm holding back tears. And as soon as I can, I rush on the court and grab my boy and hug him. Watch, I said, Benaiah, Daddy loves you. You're okay. See, because it wasn't enough. I know he could see me on the sidelines. I know he could say, oh, man, Dad's here. Dad's with me. But I wanted him to know I'm not just with them. I'm for him. I ran. Come on, somebody. I ran, and I grabbed him. And at that moment, I wanted him to know, oh, hell, and all the gym may be laughing at you. But I'm shielding you. I am for you. Later on that day, I took him aside as a father would to a son, and I began to speak to him. And my wife said to me, she said, I don't know what you told him. I'm his mom, but he needed his dad. I don't know what you told him, but it changed his attitude and changed his perspective. This week, because this happened 2 weeks ago. This week, yesterday, that's why I took a late flight, because I will have to drive here if I had to, because I will not miss my son's game. He rebounded this time and shot the ball this time in the right basket. Hold on. Got you so trained, you just clap for anything. Watch me. He now makes the basket, and he starts running down the court, down the sidelines, because a lot of his friends were there. Pop, 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 pop. You know what he has on his jersey? His name, sir? Swaggy B. Let me tell you why. Because he understood that his identity isn't based on his performance. It's based on God is with me, God is for me, and if that happens, who can be against me today? In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Let me close very quickly. Everybody stand to your feet and I'm done. I'm surprised you guys didn't bum rush the stage earlier. I were you, I would love to have a coffee with somebody out there. If you're a guest, make sure you come and check us out. Don't just come and just say, oh, that was kind of cool, that was kind of good. You need to come and just be a part of the community of faith. Here's the biggest thing that could happen today. Everybody's here by divine appointment, whether it's your first time or your fifth month. You're here by divine appointment. It's going to take me 30 seconds. The greatest relationship you could ever enter into, then you can say, God is with me and God is for me, is when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's the greatest miracle ever happened. You see that happen in my life. I'm the first Christian in my family. First Christian. I'm the first high school graduate. I'm the first university. Yes, I have a degree, a real degree that I earned, not some internet diploma mill. You know, I have a real one and a PhD. Some of you don't even, you should call me doctor. PhD, preaching, healing, and deliverance degree. That's what I got. I actually have a BA degree. I know, it's how I do. Born again. So watch. I actually do have my degree in business and religion. So there I closed, and I'll turn over, Pastor. You don't have to go along with what you're going to do, Pastor. I know you told me what you're going to do. I didn't come here for that. I came here out of relationship. You're in this place right now. There I close, and you say, you know what? I'm not sure if I put my faith and hope in Jesus. So what I have to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. If that's you, and just when I say three, just lift. It could be one, it could be none. I don't know. Just your eyes closed just for a second, just for the sake of everybody else's privacy. You ready? One? Come on. Ready? Two? Come on. It may be one, it could be none. Ready? One, two, and. Is there anybody ready? One, two, and. Three, shoot your hand up. I just want to look across this crowd and just make sure right now. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else saying, you know, that's me. I just want to put my faith and hope in Christ. Thank you. A few hands have gone up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Two more hands have gone up. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. Yep. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? That's so awesome. Let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I put my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. I receive salvation, forgiveness of sins through Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, come on in. I belong to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.